Now, he had observed in the course of his travels and his military campaigns, he had observed that the culture of all the surrounding countries was very closely linked with Buddhism. So eventually he decided to introduce Buddhism into Tibet. Now in this work, in this mission, he was greatly helped by his wives. He had two wives, or at least two principal wives. One was Nepalese, the daughter of the king of Nepal, and the other Chinese, the daughter of the emperor of China. In art, they very often depicted one on each side of him. And both of them, it so happened, were very devout Buddhists. What might have happened if one had followed one religion and the other another, I don't know. But fortunately, they were both very devout Buddhists, and they assisted Dzongshan Gampo wholeheartedly in his work, in his mission of introducing Buddhism into Tibet. For the first of his two wives, for the Nepalese wife, Dzongshan Gampo built, first of all, the Jurkhang, which literally means the Lord's House in Lhasa. This is the building which European writers and travelers usually refer to as the Cathedral of Lhasa. It's the oldest and, in a sense, the most important religious building in Lhasa, the capital of Tibet. And in this Jurkhang, the images brought from their respective countries by his wives were installed. Unfortunately, about 2 years ago, this great temple was demolished completely by the Chinese. And I remember when I was in India about 2 years ago, the Indians were very saddened to see in the newspapers photographs of the mutilated heads of these two great images, which had been there all those centuries. Apparently what happened was that pious Tibetans in Lhasa, after the demolition and desecration of the whole building, surreptitiously removed the heads, the battered heads of these images, and secretly brought them to India, and they presented them to the Dalai Lama. And photographs of them appeared in all the Indian newspapers, and I believe also in the Western press. These images were incidentally made of a sort of painted stucco, quite easily damaged. And many Indian people were very deeply affected by the sight of these damaged heads photographed in the newspapers. So this is the latest, as it were, development. Now, Dzongshan Gampo, during the course of his reign, built many other temples besides the Jurkhang, the Cathedral of Lhasa. And these were the first Buddhist temples to be built in Tibet. And he also sent a group of young Tibetans to Kashmir, which had a very high reputation for Buddhist learning in those days, sent a group of young Tibetans to Kashmir to study Buddhism. But such were the rigors of the climate, because Kashmir, compared with Tibet, is a rather hot place, even though it's rather cool compared with the rest of India. Only one of the party survived and was able to return to Tibet. And this was the celebrated Tummi Sambhota, as he is called. He's also depicted sometimes in Tibetan Buddhist art. And he is famous mainly because he is or was the inventor of the Tibetan alphabet. Before the days of Dzongshan Gampo, the Tibetans had no script, and of course, therefore, no literature. They kept some sort of primitive record, as in fact the ancient Chinese also did, with the help of knotted cords or knotted strings. It was only, as from the time of this great religious king, Dzongshan Gampo, that the Tibetans had a script, and therefore the beginnings also of a literature. So the Tibetan script was devised on the basis of one of the scripts which he encountered, one of the Indian scripts, probably the Sharada script, which he encountered during his sojourn in Kashmir. And about the same time, the first translations from Indian Buddhist scriptures were made into Tibetan. According to tradition, the very first text to be translated was the Mani Ka Bum. Mani, of course, means the Om Mani Padme Hum. Ka Bum is 100,000 words. So it's a sort of encyclopedia about the famous mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. How it originated, what its meaning was, how it was to be recited, and so on. There were two massive, thick volumes in Tibetan, the Manikarbhum, and this book, or rather this compilation, according to tradition, was the first work to be translated from an Indian language into Tibetan. Paper and ink for printing were introduced at this time, during the reign of this religious king, from China. So one can begin to see, I mean, the immense advance which was made during the reign of Tsongtsen Gampo. He practically created Tibetan culture, at least in its early rudimentary forms. Besides paper and ink, he introduced from China also painting and sculpture, which had not been known in Tibet before that time. And as if this wasn't enough, he drafted, or had drafted, a new code of civil law, and he also made Buddhism eventually the state religion, and he saw that the ethical ideals, the ethical precepts of Buddhism, were widely taught throughout his domain. So one can see that he achieved a very, very great deal, both in terms of culture and in terms of Buddhism. But one must make the point, one must emphasize, in fact, that as yet, in Tibet, there were no monks, no Buddhist monks, and no monasteries. In fact, we may say that Tsongtsen Gampo's interest in Buddhism was at least as much cultural as it was religious. Perhaps it was predominantly a cultural interest. But this, if one considers the state of Tibet in those days, this was inevitable, because the spiritual life can develop only when a certain standard of culture, not culture in the sense of material improvement, but culture in the sense of refinement of one's whole way of life, has been attained. But even with these reservations, even with this very important reservation, Tsongtsen Gampo's work for Tibet, for Buddhism, remains of the first importance. We may say that Tsongtsen Gampo laid the foundations of the Tibetan nation, laid the foundations of Tibetan culture, laid the foundations of Tibetan literature, and of Tibetan Buddhism itself. And this is surely a very, very considerable achievement for one man. The Tibetans show their gratitude even to this day to Tsongtsen Gampo by regarding him as a manifestation of the great Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. Another manifestation, a later manifestation, of course, being the Dalai Lama.